We turn now to Cashin's description of Echidia in Book 10 of the Institutes. And this can be divided into, roughly speaking, three sections. In the first section, chapters 1 through 6, he describes the effects of Echidia and also models himself very closely on Evagrius. As we will see, this section is not exactly a direct citation from Evagrius Practicos, but he clearly uses the Evagrius description of the monk afflicted by Echidia as the basis for his own description in these first six chapters. Then, in sections 7 all the way almost to the end, really chapters 7 through 21, he does a very long description of Echidia as found in the Pauline epistles. And he tries to use St. Paul as a model of someone who overcomes this vice through an emphasis on manual labor, on work. But not just manual labor in the sense of St. Paul's tent-making activities, but more specifically his work on behalf of the people of God. And there is a kind of a sub-theme throughout Cashin's description of how we overcome this vice, that our work, our labor in the context of the community is not just about ourselves. It's not just about our overcoming this vice. We are engaging in work for the sake of accomplishing the tasks of the community which reach out and have effects on others. And so he concludes in the very last section of this book with vignettes from the lives of the Desert Fathers, some of which very specifically illustrate how the work of the community or the work of the individual within the community also reaches beyond the community to touch the lives of the poor and those in need. So in many ways, the overcoming of Echidia through manual labor, through commitment to doing the work that one is assigned, is also a spiritual project. It's also about something that reaches beyond the immediate context of one's own little activities to touch the wider community as well. Well, let's begin with chapters 1 through 6 with his description of Echidia, which again is very closely borrowing from and modeled on Evagrius' description in the Practicos, which we've already seen. He generally describes in chapter 1 that Echidia is what he calls a weariness or a kind of a distress of heart. The terms tedium and anxiety underlie the Latin words that he is using here. He says that it is akin to tristitia, akin to the word that we've translated as gloominess, and is especially trying, he says, to those who live alone. Obviously, if you're living in community, there's going to be a kind of a hustle and bustle and almost a herd instinct of being moved around from thing to thing that will keep certain aspects of Echidia being prominent, but he says it's especially trying to hermits or to those who are engaged in work on their own. And he mentions, just like Evagrius, that it is a kind of a noonday activity. It's particularly disturbing, he says, beginning about the sixth hour, and is the midday demon, he says, spoken of in the 90th Psalm, again borrowing from Evagrius' notions. And here he expands Evagrius' description in describing the unhappy soul, the person afflicted by Echidia. The person is afflicted, he says, with disgust with the cell, contempt of the brethren, as if they were careless and unspiritual. The man is lazy and sluggish. He doesn't want to stay in his cell. He groans because he has to stay there. He imagines that he probably should be out somewhere else, engaged in more profitable tasks, edifying others. Teaching, after all, would be a good thing for the person to do. This person imagines, cries up distant monastery and those that are a long way off, he says in chapter 2:2. He imagines that he'll never be happy in his own place. And then he's so exhausted in number 2:3 by the fifth or sixth hour that he imagines himself wearied as if he'd been fasting or engaging in some sort of a difficult task. This person afflicted by this demon imagines that the brethren are in need of his consolation, and he can't imagine any solution except to get out and visit other people, or perhaps simply take a long nap. Now, I did not mention at the very in the very first lecture that one of St. Thomas Aquinas' solutions is, in a positive sense, to have a nice meal or to take a warm bath. He suggests that simply allowing oneself to physically relax will be a helpful thing, not necessarily always giving in to sleep, but recognizing that there's a kind of a tension that can build up that ought to be relaxed through the proper exercise of one's capacity for desire. Cashin is here pointing out the misuse of this. And in chapter 3, he talks about the tendency to visit others, to imagine that one ought to be involved in secular activities as a solution, and in fact it's only keeping one from the real and important task of meditating on God. He then describes in chapter 4 how there is a kind of an inner sleep, and it's not just sleepiness or sloth or laziness. There is an inner sleep which is depriving one of the joy of contemplation. Remember, we saw in Evagrius a sense that we need to, when we are afflicted by acedia, pluck with the strings of knowledge our inner psalter, our memorized psalms, but also the knowledge we have of our own inner and lifetime journey, that there we can find meaning from God, because acedia will try to deprive us or rob us of this. It's robbing us of our capacity for contemplation of the virtues, for an insight, he says, Cashin describes it in chapter 4, of the spiritual senses, of the inner meanings of the scriptures and of our own life. And so there is this twofold attack, which we've already seen, that in the one sense is to be exhausted and simply to take refuge in sleep, and the other is to be driven out of the cloister itself, to seek to leave, if not temporarily, to go visit someone, then in a kind of a despair of one's own situation, to even leave monastic life itself. And then he describes in chapter 6 the injurious effects of acedia, what it does to one both spiritually and physically. And then he begins in chapter 7 this very long series of what he calls testimonies from St. Paul concerning the spirit of acedia. And he describes Paul as the true and spiritual physician who throughout his writings, that is to say throughout the Pauline epistles, is providing us with examples of how one can heal this particular illness. And he is in particular, that is to say Cashin is particularly interested in St. Paul as someone who emphasizes the need for being about the labor, the work of sharing the good news. So Cashin will emphasize the role of labor, the role of work, of being persistent or persevering in one's tasks that one has been assigned, because in this way, he says, throughout the whole of chapters 7 through 20, really, in doing this, in doing the little tasks we are assigned in our own communities, we are imitating the zeal of St. Paul. We are imitating someone who worked about and was concerned with the salvation of others, and whose activities were themselves salvific, were themselves a means by which Christ ministered to the people through the work of Paul. We are in our own little ways, in our own little tasks, when we are faithful in our own work, engaging in a similar kind of project which allows the work of God to be done. So it's not just the little tasks we are engaged in, but he does particularly emphasize throughout beginning in chapter 8 and throughout this whole middle section that the labor we are engaged in is something that we need to be positive about in terms of our sense of this is a gift from God, an opportunity for service, and indeed it's a way of overcoming this great enemy in the form of the vice of acedia. Now, dropping down past all this citation from St. Paul's epistles, which lasts really even through chapter 21, beginning in chapter 22, he describes that the brethren in Egypt work with their hands not only for the themselves, but to minister to those outside the community, to provide for parts of the world, parts of the monastic world that are experiencing famine, and that they are actually reaching out through their work to touch and affect the lives of others. So here, Cashin is emphasizing the role of overcoming acidia by an awareness of what one is contributing through one's activities to the lives of others. To be committed to doing this work, not only in order to withstand the demon of acidia, but also in a very positive sense, to see how the work of one's hands radiates out past oneself and into the broader and wider Christian community.